You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, over here on the text line, I will tell you, we got a brand new texter, Doug from Birmingham. Glad you're on there. He says he listens to us almost every day. Appreciate that, man. Thanks, Doug. And then we got our buddy Racing in Hawaii texting all the time. He's actually on Twitter. His call sign is Right Side Ray. digging that. And listen, I gotta tell you. So I've been talking the last few minutes about Alabama, the South, kind of euphemistically, but like seriously, calling it the land of the free. I told you about my friend who came here from California specifically for two reasons. She and her husband packed up and left after a life in San Diego. She said it was for two reasons: cost of living and freedom. Well, here we are looking at the exodus from places like California and Illinois and New York and Alabama. We got some pretty decent rankings on the national scale now. Coming in now is my friend Jeff Poor. Jeff is the executive editor of 1819 News. He's also the host of his own show down in Mobile called The Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 down in our coastal regions. Jeff Poor, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Good. You in Montgomery this week?
I will be. I'm in Fairhope right now as we speak.
Fairhope is a beautiful place. Well, speaking of which, Alabama's a beautiful place to live. Did you see those studies? That's what I was wanting to call and get you in on. The shows that Alabama has risen in the rankings of state economic outlooks and yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean, and it's obviously all too eager to recruit you to come to Alabama, so why not?
Yeah, you talking about the economic incentives package?
Yeah, I mean, you know, rolling out the red carpet, come on down I-20, here you are.
Well, speaking of which, so what do you know about, and I saw where Chris Elliott, Senator Elliott, on your show says there's no mystery behind the economic incentives that were added in for tourism, but I was surprised by that, and I thought Senator Orr, had some pretty good comments on it. It's a little bit of a digression here, but what's the deal? Is there a secret project in the works? They're trying to bring a big aquarium to Mobile or something like that?
No. So Senator Elliott, his district is South Baldwin County, which is Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, you know, the Foley. And there's already economic incentives on the books. The only takers in the whole state were the Poarch Creek Indians with OWA and Foley. But I think he's trying to encourage more of that. But Senator Orr insists, his interpretation, that these can be applied retroactively. So, for example, if whatever reason somebody built a Hampton Inn and said, oh, okay, and this was built a year ago, and, well, we want some of those incentives too, according to Orr, that they could be applied and they could get the incentives. Elliott says that's not the case, that Orr is misinterpreting the language of the bill, and that seems to be where the difference is between the two.
Well, the difference is, too, the debate's already over and the governor signed it. That package zipped through there like scoot through a goose. So, but we kind of knew it was going to. But
I think they had to add this sweetener to get some people to come along. The thing about this legislature, Senator, is they don't just want winning votes. They want near unanimity. That's become the new objective in the Alabama legislature.
Wow, that's an interesting point. But let me ask you this, though. In terms of quality of life here, I mean, the topic at hand today is, why do folks want to come here? I mean, we're ranked as in the upper 50% of states with an economic outlook that's worth having. The entire South has become the projected future economic powerhouse of the nation. California is hemorrhaging. And yet Gavin Newsom comes to Montgomery and stands at the bottom of Dexter Avenue and talks down about our state like he's got something going on back in California. What are your thoughts?
No, I think it's kind of a trend, but we are becoming more polarized geographically, I think, is. And if you're used to be that right and left could sit side by side and coexist, you can't be culturally conservative in a lot of places in America anymore. So what do? Well, I guess you look around. What are some options? So why not the American South? And obviously part of that's Alabama.
Well, it is. I mean, I think Florida's leading the charge right now. Although a lot of people consider Florida not to be the real South.
It's not like the Bible Belt. It doesn't have the same cultural characteristics of the South with the church on every corner. It's just not. It's different. But Florida's kind of a hybrid of the South in some ways.
Well, you had snowbirds. I mean, you have all these folks from the joke used to be that the population went up every summer because snowbirds came to their second home from up north. But it doesn't seem like they brought their politics. One of the things that always concerns me, and that I've even had folks say on my show, is the concern is as the exodus happens from the, more liberal states to the more conservative states, are they going to bring their politics with them? And I think thus far it's proven not to be the case.
Something else. So we think of Florida. Well, a lot of people think of Florida as, I don't know, South Beach and the Palm Beaches and where the politics can get a little blue. But the fastest growing part of Florida by a percentage is the Gulf Coast. It's the Redneck Riviera. And I don't know if the politics there are, I think, probably more conservative than Alabama in general. I mean, look at the first congressional district of Florida. A guy like Matt Gaetz certainly probably would be more conservative, with the exception of maybe Barry Moore, than anybody in our congressional delegation. And that's the kind of the military there and the type of transplants that are coming to the Florida Gulf Coast. And I think that's a big reason why Florida used to be kind of a purplish swing state. We always like, well, how the I-4 corridor goes, how the country goes. But it's not so true anymore. I think a lot of that is just because of the growth of the Florida Panhandle.
How much of that has been in the last few years under DeSantis's leadership and pressing for policies that sort of set a different tone? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the last, certainly the last 10 years, over the last decade, but DeSantis has been in charge for the bulk of it. But even before that, it was Rick Scott. And so it wasn't like, it wasn't like it's a Bush or something. It's pretty much pretty close to the same brand, if you will.
All right. So, dude, I'm going to switch gears on you. I got to ask. I'm totally switching gears. I mean, I think you and I both agree the South is poised to do well. And it's obvious people want to come here. But let me switch gears. The thing that can crush any economy anywhere is when you have a national collapse, you have a national level of inflation that is unsustainable, you have an economic outlook that deteriorates. And we have seen a lot of that under the Biden administration. And yet, inexplicably, the octogenarian has announced his reelection. And we've got, by the way, he didn't have fanfare. He didn't have a crowd. He didn't get out there and do a big speech. He just phoned it in, man. He just put out a video and says, I'm running. Your thoughts?
I think the hope is, the assumption is that Trump will be his opponent, and he can run kind of a similar campaign against Trump as he did in 2020. I don't think that works. I really don't. It was razor thin for Biden in 2020, and they had to have a lot of things go their way. Trump, with all his flaws and faults, that you're not going to get those breaks maybe as much this time. But the style of the rollout, I think, is going to be reflective of the style of the campaign.
Exactly.
And they're just hoping that people show up to vote against something and not for somebody.
And that's, I look at it and I think, okay, you had this tired, weak, little lame basement-dwelling campaign, and you started off your next campaign without touting really anything you've done. You just said, give me 4 more years to finish what we started, and you did it from your basement. I mean, I look at that and think, okay, everybody who's suffering through inflation and dealt with the vaccine mandates and is embarrassed by Afghanistan and wishes that our military would quit doing transgender nonsense and yada, 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 looks at it and thinks, I'm hoping. I mean, maybe it's just me. I know I have a lot of my personal emotional investment in the idea of him not being president, but I can't help but look at this and go, my God, how can he possibly become president again?
Yeah, you know, and I agree. And I don't think you're going to have the benefit of the Trump remorse. No. I know he'll be. I'm assuming he's on the ballot right now. It looks like it, that's going to be the case. If it's DeSantis, Biden's toast. But I think if it's Trump Biden 2.0, Biden's not going to have the advantages he had over Trump in 2020. And I, you know, it just, like I said, it was so razor thin close. It took him how long to call the election officially? One or two of those states could go back Trump's way. Now, and I don't know which one or what Trump's doing to swing those states back the other way, but it could happen, and that's the way I think I would be looking at it right now if I were either side.
So if Trump is the candidate and Biden is the candidate, can Trump, who is going to be, what, 78 years old, can he really call out age as a factor?
Well, I mean, you could call out age if you're doing it. Maybe the guy seems old, I guess. Maybe we look at it, Senator, would you say Trump's got all his faculties there? I mean, like, he's aware, more aware than Biden is.
Oh, yeah. I will say this. Trump does not act like someone or seem like someone his age.
He just seems like he's aware of where he is at any given moment.
Which is crazy that we're saying the president of the United States does not seem like he's aware of where he is at every given moment.
But I mean, people don't understand. It's not like Biden is this, you know, this bright shining beacon of hope. He was just not Trump in 2020, and that's the only reason he's president.
I totally agree. All right, brother. Well, I got to take my break, but I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, and let them know where they can find you if they want to.
Just check out twitter.com/Jeff_poor for me, and then everything else, 1819news.com.
That'll work. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. See you. All right. Going to a break right now. We'll come right back. And, yeah, we'll pick up from that conversation and go into number two of the Triple Dipper. Four more years. Four more years, ! Four more years, ! Four more years, sad emoji. Angry, I would just name it. We'll go down the road. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.